Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Of course, there's all sorts of travel restrictions these days, but the International Charity Tear Fund continues to support its partners in some of the world's neediest places, and people in Ireland are being so generous and also creative. And today is no different for Tear Fund, because it is their coffee morning, but of course it's going to be run in a very different way, but it's more important than ever. With us to tell me more, I've Niamh Daly of Tear Fund Ireland. Niamh, morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, not too bad. We're here all getting ourselves set up. We're kicking off this morning at 11 o'clock.
So how's it going to look this year compared to other years, Niamh?
I know. Well, we won't be all cosy sitting around the tables in people's kitchens and school and break rooms or anything like that. So we're all online, and we've been promoting it and telling people about it for about 2 weeks now. And lots of people have bought tickets, and with their ticket, they get a Zoom code. So once you click on that, you'll be able to join us this morning at 11. And yeah, we're hoping to see a whole pile of Tear Fund supporters and friends, and some church leaders are joining us. So we're really looking forward to it.
So where are you going to be sipping your coffee from, Niamh?
I am by the best spot in my house that has the best Wi-Fi, which is by the Christmas tree, believe it or not.
Great, it'll be very festive.
Propped up, but I don't think you can see the Christmas tree in it, but all sorts of lights going on behind me. And all propped up. And then we people tuning in from all over, really, to join us for the coffee morning.
And so when people log on, what can they expect? What's going to be happening during the coffee morning this morning?
Well, we have a live in art installation from Buncrana in Donegal. We have an artist, Andrew Garvey-Williams, is joining us, and he's really pioneered the whole area of worship and art and through the creative arts, and he's been wonderful in bringing young people along with him. So he's actually doing a piece during our morning. We have an interview with the local girl to you there, actually, in Spirit Radio, from Grace Jones, and she hosted our last coffee morning, one of our last coffee mornings, and since then she's gone through a very personal and spiritual experience as she attended an Alpha course, and she's going to share some of that and show some of the art that she uses, and people commission for her, really, when people are grieving or in a place needing comfort, and she's really been able to apply her newly discovered faith to those pieces.
That's amazing, just sharing those gifts with everybody.
Wonderful. And then we have lots of supporters who've been very busy over lockdown. They've been knitting tea cozies and beanies and making beautiful pieces of art from silk, and they're all donating their work to the work of Tear Fund. So we'll be showing some of those, and people who join in have an opportunity to buy them if they like as Christmas gifts, and lots going on. There's prizes. We've been given a lovely gift of a midweek stay in Ballinter House Hotel in Meath. That's like a boutique type hotel. It's really very nice, very vintage style. And so we'll be drawing random person to have that prize. We have a honey hamper, and with some videos from our work in Ethiopia and Lebanon. And we'll be hearing stories of how people's lives have really been transformed through the work of Tear Fund, and also through the wonderful support and prayer and all the generosity of Irish supporters over the years. So we really want people to come along, be encouraged, hear great stories, be inspired, get to know other people, other supporters, and get to know some of the Tear Fund team a bit better too.
And one of the things, Niamh, of course, that's a positive, where people are kind of zooming in and logging on that way, is that people can connect up with you from all over the world. And you have somebody from Illinois helping you run today's event.
That's right, Amanda Prather. She's my digital guru. She normally is in our base here in Dublin, but she's from the States, and she went home to really cocoon and prepare for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So she was up this morning, I think 4 a.m. her time, getting all our Zoom connections all set up, and she'll be orchestrating behind the scenes all the breakout rooms. There'll be opportunity for people to go into smaller breakout rooms and chat as
it's
well.
It's great, and it works really well. If people aren't familiar with it, if there's loads of people on, you can split people up into small groups, and you get to kind of meet people you would never have got to meet and chat to them, and it's actually really nice, isn't it?
I know, that's such a different dynamic, because for me, Zoom, you're just there observing, listening or whatever, but as soon as they hit that breakout room, all of a sudden everyone starts chatting, you know, amongst themselves. And so we really wanted to try and recreate that coffee kind of morning experience where people would chat and really get to know others as well. And I'm sure there'll be lots of people that people know as well. You know, there's people tuning in from Limerick and Cork and all over the place. So we're really looking forward to a good morning.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be fantastic. Is it too late for people to get involved? How do they log on, Niamh?
No, not at all. If they want to just quickly go to our own website, tearfund.ie, and click through, and that'll bring you to Eventbrite, where you can purchase a ticket. Tickets are €5, and that enters you for the random draw for the prizes. And we will be able to really probably manage ticket sales probably up till 11 o'clock, maybe 5 past 11. But we really are hoping to kick off at 11. And poor Amanda in Illinois now, we don't want to destroy her completely. So really, if you can get in and book your ticket or show your support, even if you can't attend, by buying a ticket, you really will be supporting our work and it'll be going to a really good cause.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great morning, and enjoy your coffee by the Christmas tree and chats with everybody. And just, Niamh, for people maybe who are listening now but they mightn't be able to make the coffee morning but they really want to support your work, because I know that's of course what this is all about, what's the best way that they can do that, especially thinking of Christmas and Christmas presents and everything?
Absolutely, yeah. So as they get onto our website, we have we'll be posting up there these different crafts that people can buy directly from the suppliers. We'll be giving you details on that. And really, we're saying to people, you know, next Monday, or Monday week, really, the 14th of December, is the last day for posting. So if you want to get up on our website, see what's available, and you'll be buying local, you'll be buying from people who are supportive of Tear Fund, and all the profits are going towards their work. So really, I suppose our website or our Facebook page are the best places to find those. And you know, we've obviously got Tear Fund in the UK and everything, but if you want to stay local here in Ireland, just make sure it's tearfund.ie, and you'll get you know, the Irish connections with people here in Ireland.
Niamh, as always, thank you so much for chatting to us, and really hope the coffee morning goes well for you this morning. And of course, don't forget, you can have Spirit Radio on playing in the background.
Excellent idea. Great. Thanks, Wendy.
Niamh, as always, talk to you soon. That's Niamh Daly of Tear Fund Ireland. And as Niamh mentioned, do you want to get involved in the coffee morning or support their work? You can go to tearfund.ie. Spirit. It's been difficult for so many during the pandemic, but I think it's been especially difficult for those who are living in nursing homes, many of whom, the residents there, who literally have not had a visitor in the last 9 months. And while I'm sure the fear of catching COVID-19 is very real, there's also the reality of just extreme loneliness that I'd imagine many of these residents are feeling. And it's heartbreaking that perhaps for some of their last precious years, they will have spent almost a year away from their family, maybe seeing a family member through the occasional window. Our next guest campaign is trying to highlight and seek a safe solution for family members to be able to visit nursing homes. It's called the 2x2x2 Be Their Voice campaign. And on the line to tell us more, we have Magella Beattie. Magella, morning to you.
Good morning, Wendy. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about the campaign and the background. How did it all begin?
Well, the campaign really, I suppose, came to being through two Facebook pages, Care Champions and Voice for the Elderly. Care Champions is the group that I'm involved in, which started, I suppose, as an advocacy group for home care and people needing care in the community. And Voices for the Elderly is a group that came together to advocate for families and residents of nursing homes. We started receiving an awful lot of people sending us messages and telling their stories of their loved ones in nursing homes.
And what sort of stories were you hearing, Magella?
Awful stories. We've heard from families watching their loved one dying through a window and not being able to get in. We've heard of we have people who have gone to windows, people who are married for 50 and 60 years, and they're going to a window to see their husband or their wife, who may have hearing issues, not being able to hear them, may have dementia, not be able to understand why they won't come into them. We've got family members, we've got people who've got sons and daughters in nursing homes while they're waiting to have adaptations done on their houses, massive issues around depression, mental health issues, abandonment. And, you know, even when we look at the nursing homes, people think, you know, it's horrendous for the people in the nursing homes, but it's also horrendous for the family members looking in, and particularly when it's a husband or a wife or somebody that has spent their lifetime together. People have given up. Like, we've had people coming and telling us about their loved ones who have stopped eating, who won't get out of bed, who just can't understand that they've just been abandoned.
Why do you think, Magella, there hasn't been enough of a focus for a safe solution? Or is it possible to have them? Because it's understandable that, I mean, everything you're saying is heartbreaking, and it seems cruel in one way, but on the other hand, the restrictions are there for a reason, to try protect these residents from getting the virus, because it has been so deadly for those in nursing homes.
Absolutely, and you know, we totally appreciate and respect the seriousness of COVID-19, and none of us want to see anybody get it. But in lockdown one, we had a massive issue in nursing homes, obviously with COVID-19, but we also had issues with people being sent from hospitals to nursing homes without being tested. There was the whole issue around PPE. There was the whole issue about staff, the shortness of staff and being sent from nursing home to nursing home. And so obviously in the first lockdown, we had a massive, massive awful effect in nursing homes. Whereas now we're 9 months on, there are instant tests like the antigen test. That's what we are calling for. We are calling for safe visitation. We're looking for 2 half-hour visits a week. The family members who would go into the nursing homes are willing to be tested. The very same as staff, wear PPE, only have half-hour visitation, and even to further minimise that risk, we cannot understand why they haven't introduced a testing system for family members, like the antigen testing, where you can get your results in minutes. They're 97.3% accurate and are very inexpensive. And surely the benefits for the residents far outweighs the risk.
And is that your feeling, Majella, that because if, you know, of course, so much of the discussion around this pandemic has been protecting public health, but public health is made up of so many different things, and you touched on some of the other impacts, like, for example, on mental health, and then that can in turn have an impact on physical health as well. What has been the reaction to this ask so far? Have you had any contact with government representatives?
We've had some TDs. We contacted every TD. Some TDs came back and offered us their support. I know yesterday we had a TD bring it up in the Dáil. We have requested and we've asked for NPHET, the NHI. We've looked for a meeting by Zoom, obviously, with them to be able to discuss a plan around this, because we believe the families are the voices of the residents, particularly those with dementia and those who are not able to speak for themselves. We have looked for it. As of yet, we have not got it.
So what about the reaction from others as you've launched the campaign? Have people been getting in touch with you, just sharing their stories?
Massive reaction. Absolutely massive reaction. We were blown away, because when we even suggested that we were looking for to try and pull a team together between the two groups to try and launch this, we were just inundated and have been since. You know, every time you go back to the computer or the phone, there's numerous messages to respondents, there's people telling their stories. And for me, the one that always catches me, I have to say, is the husband or the wife. Those stories, I have to say, really, really catch me. It's been absolutely phenomenal. You know, it's been shocking, and it's been shocking that we're not being heard. You know, although we are getting a lot of media interest and we have great public support, it's absolutely extraordinary at this point that we still have not been heard. Like, we heard yesterday when Micheál Martin was asked a question in the Dáil about bringing about the visits, and with respect to him, he was hemming and hawing, you know, yeah, we're trying to look at this and we've been discussing the antigen test, but like, this is a serious issue. Like, people in nursing homes, the majority of them are elderly people. Many of them are at end of life already, and you know, they're in their twilight days and years and months, and who wants to spend that last few months or years of your life on your own, isolated away from your family, your connection to everything that you knew in your life?
And it's hard to even just kind of fathom the impact that might have on everybody, the person in the nursing home and indeed the family members, Majella. And in terms of what you can do next, because obviously maybe you feel like you're not getting anywhere, you haven't got much of a response. What about the nursing homes themselves that you have maybe had some contact with your plan that you've set out, just in terms of trying to set up the visits in a safe way? Do you think nursing homes are open to it if it's done in the way that you're proposing?
Well, I did speak to a nursing home owner just in the last 2 days ago, and I was arguing the point, you know, we need a national protocol. Look, as it is, guidelines, each nursing home will come up with their own guidelines out of that, but we need something standard. And the response that we were getting really was, you know, we would appreciate some sort of a national protocol because guidelines are changing and it's very hard for nursing homes to nearly try and keep up with what the plan is or what is going to happen. We have not had any negative response from any nursing home. And of course, we always acknowledge the staff in nursing homes are doing extraordinary work and it cannot be easy for them. And this has nothing to do with an issue with nursing homes.
I'd imagine the staff, Majella, are finding it very difficult too, because they're on the front line, they're working so hard and they're probably seeing, you know, their clients in these nursing homes deteriorating. And, you know, people who've worked all their lives and built this country, formed this country, is the focus too much on, you know, we have to obviously focus on being safe from the virus, but are we not talking enough about overall well-being?
Absolutely. And we're also talking about people's rights, Wendy. You know, people have rights. You know, my own mother died there 9 weeks ago, and we had her at home. And my mother actually did pick up COVID a number of months ago in hospital. But when my mother came home, she had deteriorated quite rapidly, and she was sick, very sick for and I came to a point where I had to have a discussion with my mother, who also had dementia, but I had to have a discussion with my mother whether or not we were going to risk, and of course this was the height of the pandemic and we weren't letting people into the house or whatever, but I had to give my mother the option to spend quality time and take that risk with her family, and that's what she wanted, and it brought a bit of joy to her life. And it made a huge difference to her brothers and, you know, her family who have to live afterwards.
And do you feel then, so your mother was blessed to be able to be with you for her last days, and we're very sorry, Majella, of course, to hear that your mother passed in the last 8 weeks. But then do you feel that maybe those who are in nursing homes, and as you say, especially those who are quite vulnerable or have dementia, if they're trying to use their voice in this way and say, this is what I want to see my family, that they're not being heard?
100%. And you know, Wendy, no matter whether or not you have lost your voice or you have dementia, you always have a way of communication. And when a person stops eating and a person gets really depressed and low, that is telling you something. That is telling you that the person is not happy. That is telling you that they are not getting what they need or want in their life.
Well, Majella, what's going to happen next with your campaign and how can people connect up with it and get in touch with you if they would like to?
Okay, so we're on Twitter, the 2x2x2 campaign. On Facebook, it's Care Champions. And of course, at this 2x2x2, we come up anyway. You can private message any pages. We have an email, be their voice, 2x2x2 campaign @gmail.com. We've also been speaking and taking advice from a human rights lawyer just to see if that is a route that we may have to look at going down. And but hopefully, you know, we are hoping that Netflix and the NHI will actually reach out and engage with us, because there is I believe that you know, everybody wants engagement. Everybody wants, at the end of the day, safety and what's best for people in our residential homes, and we just need to get communication going and, you know, come up with a plan that's safe for everybody. Like when the virus started, we all made the sacrifice. Initially we were told for 2 weeks, we're here at 9 months, and now they're giving us a visitation once a week over Christmas. But, you know, are we going to be all back down and locked down again in January and then we're back to square one?
In a strange way, it makes it harder than that, not knowing. You get that brief, beautiful encounter where you get to spend time with your loved one and then it's ripped away from you again.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, for many people, you know, people say, well, when the vaccine comes. But for many people, when the vaccine comes, it's going to be too late.
Well, Majella, thank you so much for joining us on the programme today to share with us a little bit about the 2x2x2 campaign. As Majella said, if you want to connect up with them, you can find them through the Care Champions on Facebook, and they're on Twitter as well. Spirit. Today, our Christmas countdown guest is singer Paul Byrom. It's great to have Paul on the line with us. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, Paul, for yourself and so many other musicians, like so many parts of our lives, I'm sure your 2020 was thrown upside down. What sort of an impact has it had on you and your music?
Well, I suppose, yeah, you're right. I mean, we've all been kind of turned upside down. Nobody has escaped the harshness of the COVID pandemic. You know, for the music industry in particular, it has been very, very difficult. I mean, there was a point when I was on tour in March throughout the States, and I could hear that things were kind of growing momentum back home, and it wasn't quite the same in America, the same vibe, and my mom and my girlfriend and I were like, you got to get home, you know, things are crazy here, and we're going into lockdown. And I was like, nah, they're obviously overreacting, and because it's not like that here. And then, needless to say, just within 24 hours, things went into lockdown in the States, or shutdown, should I say. So I had to get a flight home mid-tour.
Which I presume you've probably never had to do before or never expected, yeah?
No. So a total nightmare in that regard. Came home and went into lockdown. And there was a point, I suppose, during it where, you know, you were all like, well, okay, there's nothing can be done. We're in lockdown. Everybody's in the same boat. We're all in the same storm in different boats, if you know what I mean. And so then as the year went on, you found that certain industries and certain walks of life were returning to some level of normality or returning to work. However, the music and the arts was what it seemed like and still seems like was being left behind and being forgotten about. And that seems very much still to be the case. I mean, in that, you know, as I said, we've come out of lockdown since Monday now, and things are returning, and you've got the vintners and the hoteliers and whoever else, the tourism board and small businesses, all of those people getting airtime and been talked about and, you know, trying to...
So you feel kind of left behind a bit, Paul. Because so many of these industries, you know, we're trying to think of creative solutions, and I've seen, so I forget what country it was, but I saw a picture of a concert happening where everybody were on almost little mini raised platforms and they were watching this concert. Obviously, the practicality of that, I was thinking, okay, and it was an outdoor venue, but how would that work in Ireland? Has there been any kind of... is there anybody representing the music industry on your behalf to government?
Well, I mean, we've got small little lobbying groups, and you've got, you know, you've got different people, but that's the thing, there isn't a union, so to speak, of singers or a union of musicians. There never has been, really. You know, there's IMRO and there's the likes of that look after your rights or your publishing rights and royalties and stuff, but with regards to you know, representing us as an industry, no, there really isn't. And I suppose in many respects that should be looked at, you know, but I suppose, you know, it's just one of those things that we're hoping, you know, that people are going to take note, but we've been banging this drum now I've certainly been banging the drum for the last 6 months at least, you know, and then you're looking at, you know, there's movie theatres been allowed to reopen now, and then there's talk of, you know, flights, you can take a flight somewhere, you know, if it's on the right list, but yet you can't sit in a theatre. You know, it strikes me as bizarre. You know, even in the UK, they're looking this weekend, I think there's between 2,000 and 4,000 people being allowed into football stadiums, but yet the West End is still black. You know, it absolutely doesn't make sense to me, there is a disregard, I think, for those of us in the industry. It's an element of like, are you to be grand, or, you know, sure, look, it's only the arts, it's more important things to be worrying about, you know, there's this, that and the other. And I'm like, well, we're the big industry that brings in a huge amount of revenue to this country. Let's not, you know, disregard
that. As well as promoting Ireland abroad when you're touring all over the world, yeah?
Yeah, but then even aside from that, I mean, who are the first people that are called when there's a fundraiser on? You know, it's always the singers or the musicians. You wouldn't come and perform for us. We're having a fundraiser. You wouldn't come and do this for us, would you, because we're doing that. You know, isn't it great to get a bit of music? It lifts the spirits. Isn't it great to see the play? You know, that was exactly what we needed now on a night out. But yet, as soon as this has happened, we're kind of left by the side. And we'll call you when we need you. You know, there's that kind of, there is an element of that. And we've been kind of dismissed, and the government threw out, you know, small amounts of money to be divvied up amongst certain companies and production theatres to try and come up with pantos for the year. And, you know, and when you look at the money that's, for example, been given to the Greyhound racing in Ireland, just to name one, you know, in comparison to what the music and the arts are getting, it's remarkable. It just doesn't equate. And as I said, when things return to normality, people will assume or hope that all those singers and performers will be there ready to entertain us when they want to go out again. And the harsh reality of it is, unless we open up these theatres and get some level of plan and action, you know, there's a lot of singers, dancers and musicians that will have to go look at another profession. Yeah. That will walk away.
That won't be able to recover.
Can't recover. Yeah. I mean, a lot of them have gone under. Even little companies, things like, for example, people that rent out sound equipment or lighting equipment or staging or sets, all of those people are on their knees now at this point in time. And then when it all returns, where will they be? A lot of them won't be there. So it is quite serious, and it needs to be talked about, because we do pride ourselves on a country of the arts and the saints and the scholars and all of that lark. And now is the time to back the arts and support the arts. And as I said, I feel like a broken record, you know, at this point in time. But, you know, you get a little bit of traction every now and again, and then it goes down. In the interim,
while you're waiting for more support, the best way people can support you is to buy your music and to buy it online and connect up with you that way.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, look, people have been great. I've been very fortunate. I have a very loyal fan base, you know, internationally and at home here, and I'm very fortunate. I really am, and it could be a lot worse for me. And I've been busy throughout the year, as you know. I've been piecing together a new album. A number of people, friends of mine in the industry, are scratching their heads going, what? You're doing an album this year of all years, like, you know. And so finally we got it over the line. We have a full 65-piece orchestra playing on the album. And we released it Friday last, so the 27th it came out. So it's out nearly a week. And people have been great. The reaction has been great. And people are supporting. And that is the way to support the arts. It's going and ordering their music online, actually ordering it, or going onto iTunes and downloading albums. And listening to stuff on Spotify, I'm not sure people realize that Spotify does very little to nothing for the likes of the smaller artists. You know, your Justin Bieber's and Taylor Swift's and whoever else, they're all grand. They're great. They're getting a million streams. That's great. But by streaming or listening to music for free, you know, you really are kind of, you're enjoying the music but giving nothing to the artist. So I implore people to kind of download the music, go onto iTunes, download it, and even just go on the websites like goldendiscs.ie and buy albums, mine preferably, but buy Irish artists. Because we're desperate for it, you know.
And we all certainly are getting behind by Irish. Right, we better get to some of your Christmas questions, Paul. Tell us a little bit about a Christmas memory from your childhood.
I suppose a lot of my Christmas memories as a child would be based around being a boy soprano, singing in churches in Dublin. I used to sing with a wonderful man by the name of Dal McNulty. He had a choir in John's Lane. So I would have done all the masses in there, and I would have gone out to Booterstown Church then and sang at the 6 o'clock mass on Christmas Eve, and then I would have sung in school. So my Christmas was always full of just going from one church to the next. I could have actually said the mass by the time I got to 21. Like, you know, I knew it inside out. So
did you enjoy it?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I mean, I have to confess, I wouldn't be, as I've got older, I'm not as religious, I suppose, as I would be. It was suggested I should be or whatever, but I'd be quite a spiritual person, so therefore I like and I love liturgical music. There's something beautiful about it, and as a kid I used to revel in singing it. It was a bizarre thing, you know, and when some of my classmates were listening to The Doors and, you know, you too, and being pretty cool, and there was me a little bit geeky loving singing the Ave Maria and A Holy Night, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing that you, I mean, a privilege, I suppose, to be able to be part of that. And I would say, Paul, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw you singing many years ago, saw and heard you singing many years ago. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who might have seen you, and that was a huge part of their Christmas. So it's in a strange way, your Christmas memory is part of other people's Christmas memories.
Yeah, and it is. I'm very fortunate to be in a position to do that through singing and through the style of music I do. I get to bring a lot of kind of comfort and to people, which is great, you know.
So I think probably one of the questions is a low light from 2020, but I'm guessing is it what we've been discussing just in terms of the music industry?
Yeah, the music. Well, that's just what it is. We're all the same, but we have to just, you know, get on with it, and we will get on with it, and we'll come out. And that was the whole point of the album. It was like a real statement that we'll be back. You know, we're not down and out. We will be back. The low light for me, though, was when I just was listening to Magella on before. My grandmother is 101 years of age, and she's in a nursing home. And I haven't seen her since February. I haven't held her hand since February. And, you know, I went for the first time there last week. I had a chance to go see her through a window. And she was too tired and frail to come down to the window. And so that was a real low for me because she doesn't understand what's really going on. I mean, she gets it, but she can't understand why we're not coming in to see her, you know. So that, for me, is the low of 2020, that my granny at this stage in her life, it could be her last Christmas and I can't be with her.
It is absolutely heartbreaking, and look, hopefully that campaign will gain traction.
For sure, yeah.
And do you think you'll get to see her over Christmas, Paul? Will you be allowed to visit?
Well, that's the hope. I mean, I'm just gagging to get in to see her, you know, and I'm considering just going down to the nursing home and setting up a few speakers.
I was going to say, are you going to do a Daniel O'Donnell on it and sing outside?
Yeah. Oh, I think Daniel followed me. I did it back in April for my granny for her birthday.
You did it first.
So Daniel's robbing my ideas. But no, I think I might go down and sing a few songs for the residency just outside the front. And in actual fact, if anybody that's listening is from a nursing home in Dublin and would like me to come along and sing a couple of songs, I would be more than happy to do it. They can contact me through my website, paulbyram.ie, because I'm not doing gigs, and I would be more than happy and honoured to come along and sing a couple of tunes if people want that.
That's incredibly generous of you for giving of your time. I'm sure you're going to get lots of requests for it, Paul.
Well, they know where I am. They can contact byrampaul@gmail.com if they want to email me. I'd be more than happy to come out and just sing a few songs for residents and staff, because it's just, I think they are being forgotten in many respects as well through all of this, you know.
So what about a highlight of 2020? Something positive that happened?
Well, I mean, I think the highlight for me for sure is getting the album out, you know.
And the support you got for it.
Sorry?
The support that you got for it as well.
Yeah, it's been great. Look, it's a sense of achievement, and it has been the hardest release I've made to date. It's been the biggest achievement I've done to date because of everything that went against it and everything that was kind of thrown in front of it, and so to get it out eventually and see it in golden discs now on a shelf, it gives me great pride.
Indeed it should. And what will you recommend for Christmas? I have a feeling you might say buy the album.
I'd say, of course, if you want, you know, a good stocking filler or something for your granny or your mom or your uncle or your dad, or pick up a copy for sure, I would suggest that. But look, you know, I would just suggest enjoy yourself, try to be sensible in some regard, as much as you can, look, just be grateful that we're here to celebrate it, you know.
And how will you be celebrating Christmas this year, Paul?
You know what, I will be just taking it very handy. I will be with my mom, my sister and her husband, and the three kids. Santi, of course, is coming to the house on Christmas Day, or Christmas Eve, should I say. So we're all very excited about that. And it'll be a very simple family Christmas with, of course, my little dog as well, has Santi coming. So that'll be my Christmas this year. Nothing too wild or wonderful. I'm just grateful to be able to do it, you know.
And what about 2021? What are your hopes?
2021, my hope is that I'll be back on a stage. I'd love to bring my show back, the new album. I'd like to bring that to the stage with the full orchestra, and that is a massive to-do list. And to get back out touring in the States again, you know, that's primarily my, that's what makes you drive, you know. That it's performing, and I love performing, and at the moment I'm sitting twiddling my thumbs, sitting at a desk, and that's just not who I am, you know.
Hopefully we see you back on a stage sometime soon, Paul. Thanks so much for being our Christmas countdown guest today. That was singer Paul Byrom, and of course we were talking about his new album What I Did for Love. If you want to get your hands on it, you can go to goldendiscs.ie. And also incredible that Paul was just saying there, if you have someone in a nursing home in Dublin, that he would turn up and sing outside to lift the spirits. And you can get in touch with him at his website at paulbyrom.ie. Let's play out with a wonderful song from Paul. Here is In My Life. This is Spirit Radio.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better, some have gone, and some remain.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.